Let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. Let's read that together, 16, 17, and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's flip over to John 13. Let's read verses 34 and 35. Thank you. Let's read that. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have..." Amen. One of the things, we've been teaching some messages, and we may extend these up here so that we can get the full impact of them. But one of the things that we've been teaching, a series of messages called Speak the Word Only. And the first set of messages were authority by command, and that God gave us authority by his command. And today we're going to share a message called Kingdom Principles. And we may also, there's two messages that I taught in Nanuet, Kingdom Principles and Kingdom Lifestyle. Now, if we have time, we'll share both. If not, we'll just share one of the messages today. But one of the things that we are to do, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're to walk by the things that faith provides. We're not to walk by the things that we see. We're not to be motivated by things that we see. We're to be motivated by faith. Now, there's a scripture verse, if you would, just for a moment. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. I want to look at this for a second. Mark chapter 1, and look at verse 14 and 15. Says, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now, when you look at that, he said, "Repent ye, and believe the gospel." And what it said here is Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom. Now, when you look up the word repent, it means to change one's mind, or to change one's mind for the better, or to change your direction. So when you repent, it means you change your direction. You change your thinking, and you change the direction that you're going in. So Jesus came preaching the kingdom, and he said, "Repent ye, change your thinking, change your mind, change the direction you're going in, and believe the kingdom, believe what I'm sharing." So really, when you say repent, it means to let go of what you're holding on to and embrace something new or better. So when he's preaching the kingdom, he's saying, repent, change what you're thinking, and change the direction and believe what I'm sharing. It's something better. Let's go to John 9, John chapter 9. And this is a familiar scripture verse, and he is sharing. And John 9 and verse 5, he said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So here we can see that Jesus said, as long as I'm in this world, I'm the light. And to me, that has significance because when you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, he came as not only the light, but when we look at this, he came to destroy the works of the devil, which is shared in 1 John. But every opportunity that he had and he ministered at the direction of the Father, he lifted and dispersed darkness. He lifted the curse off of people. Why? He was the light. He was the light of the world, and he, through the agency of the Holy Ghost, he was the Word, he lifted and dispersed darkness. And so he took the responsibility, or you could say he took full responsibility of the darkness that was in the earth. And I like what 1 John 1:7 says. It says, "We are to walk in the light as he is in the light." That's 1 John 1:7. And Ephesians 5:8 says, "We're to walk as children of the light." So now no longer, since he said, as long as I'm in this earth, I am the light of the world. But I know in Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." So we are now the light of the world. So we've been given a mandate from Jesus to go into all the world and preach the kingdom, preach the gospel. And those that believe will be saved, those that won't will be damned. And he said, and these signs shall follow. So these signs follow the light. And so we have now, as the body of Christ, we now have the responsibility to do something about the darkness that's in this earth. And yes, we're not doing it independently of God. We are the body, and Jesus is the head. And so he's the mediator between God and man. So the process is still the same. We can do nothing of ourselves. But he said in John 14, which we've been reading, John 14:12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So we're to do the greater works here and the works that he did, and we're part of him. And I believe in Ephesians chapter 3, or I think it's 3, where he says the whole family in heaven and earth is named by him. So we're named, our name is Jesus. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. He's called Jesus. The body can't be called something different than the head. And Scripture bears that out. So we are his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. And one of the things that I like, there's a scripture verse in 2 Corinthians. Would you turn over there just for a second? We'll jump in here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, "Now then," this is the King James, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So he's speaking through us. He said, that's what he says here, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And as ambassadors, I like, let me read how some of the modern translations read that. The New Century Version says, we have been sent to speak for Christ. I like that. The Message says, Message translation says, we are Christ's representatives. And the Bible in Basic English says, so we are the representatives of Christ. And it says, as if God was making a request to you through us. So when we reach out to people at God's direction, it's God through us reaching out to mankind. So that's why it's so important. We can't just act any old way, because we are his mouthpiece, his representatives. That's why when the church acts contrary to God, people in the world go, that's a joke. Because we are his ambassadors. When they see, just like Jesus said, when he was on this earth, they said, show us the Father. He said, well, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And they got all irate. But let me ask this question. The Bible says you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So my spirit man inside me has been changed. The seed, the incorruptible seed of God's word, has changed me. How? To look like Jesus on the inside. My outside didn't change, but my inside sure did. And now I look like Jesus. I have his spirit. I have his nature. So that's why when we go into the earth at God's direction and we do things, it should be that people have come in contact with who? God. And his very nature they have sensed, which is what happened with Jesus. When Jesus operated at the Father's direction, people said, truly a prophet has been amongst us. I guess that's the best they could do, because they didn't want to call him what he said. It got him irate. But today, we have amongst us, we are the body of Christ. We are the light of the world. Let me continue these. I like this. This is the Good News translation. It says, here we are then, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us to the world. Be reconciled. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. Yeah, right. And we're to continue to reach out. This is another translation. I like this. It's called the New International Reader's Version. It says, so we are Christ's official messengers. I like that. We are his official messengers. And one of the things I did, and of course some of you may know, some of you don't, I needed to remind myself, what is a U.S. ambassador, what is their responsibility? What is an ambassador's responsibility? And this is what a diplomatic ambassador. It says, U.S. ambassadors are accredited diplomatic leaders sent by the federal government to serve as official representatives. We are sealed by God as official representatives of him here in the earth. So that means when you go to act and say something, you need to stop and say, well, wait a minute. Am I going to say something or do something as an official representative of the head of the church? Am I going to say something and act like a fool? I want to stop and think, because that's what ambassadors do. Before they speak on behalf of the United States of America, they're going to stop and think about what it is they're going to say. And some of them have scripted things to say. So do we. We got a script right here. We can follow this script. And so it continues. It says the duties of a U.S. ambassador include protecting and promoting national interests. Oh, yeah. We are to protect and promote the kingdom of God. That's our job. We are official representatives of God in this earth. And it said, of course, it says maintaining diplomacy, organizing visits, and so forth, and all those other. But we are to promote the interests of the kingdom of God. And it ought to be in our uppermost thinking when we're about in this earth. I am an official representative of God. And I am to promote and protect the interests of whose kingdom? His kingdom. Because that's where my directions come from. That's where my source comes from. And I can't do anything without him. And so that kind of piqued my interest. I'll just share that Christianity is never to be, it's to be demonstrated. Christianity is to be demonstrated, not dictated to people. It's to be demonstrated. How? How we walk, how we love, how we speak with people. Because we are his official representatives and messengers. So it's to be demonstrated. So everywhere Jesus went, he dispossessed the devil. Now, and I just read verse 12, how he said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he said, and whatsoever you ask of my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's going to all be done by faith, not by sight. It's going to have to be done by faith. Now, let's. Did you leave 2 Corinthians? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, and let's look at verse 16 for a moment. I want us to think about these things here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I think that's significant because here in this scripture verse, Paul, by revelation, is sharing here there were two men. He's talking about an outward man, and he's talking about an inward man. He's talking about two different men. And then he goes on and he says here, he's saying, the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Two sets of eyes. Two different men. Two different types of eyes, two sets of eyes, outward and inward. So we're talking about operating in faith. So there's a seen realm and an unseen realm. And the seen realm is seen by the outward man, but the unseen realm is seen by the inward man. And how is that done? By faith. And one of the things that you can see here, and of course I know everybody here has experienced it in some degree or measure. Some of us have said, I can see that. I see myself doing that, or I have this direction to do this. I can see that. It could be as simple as building something or baking something. you can see yourself doing that. You say, I can see how to do that. And so how is that done? That's done from an inner seeing, you can see something spiritually, just in a simple way. Could be from baking, it could be from putting something together, you may be good with your hands. You can see how to do something. Who did that? You didn't see it physically, you saw it from the inside, the inner man. You got an inside picture of that. And that's how we're made. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so some folks think that the seen realm is more real than the unseen realm. And we know as Christians that the unseen realm supports the seen realm. Everything that we see is supported by words spoken or the word. So, and it says, nothing made that is made was not made by, or not was absent from being made by what? The Word of God. So we know that this unseen realm is eternal and is more significant. That's why when it says here that it says the outward man perisheth, well, that which we see perishes. But what we don't see is eternal. And so it's important that we get a clear picture of that, because faith can see something. Is that not true? I mean, we take, just in the natural, the principles are being, I call it hijacked, they're being used by motivational speakers all the time. They tell you, see yourself doing that. Sit down and dream. Well, we all talk about that. Dream about a vacation. And you all say, yeah, I can see myself sitting back on the beach. I can see myself in a lounge chair on a cruise ship. How are you doing that? You're dreaming. You're seeing yourself doing something. Or I see myself swimming or going down the slopes on a set of skis or whatever. Like me, I saw myself in a race car driving. So whatever. Whatever that was. You saw yourself doing something. How? You there's an inner vision that you have, an inner seeing or an inner eye that you have. So faith can see. So what does that mean? You can see the end product before you've even made it, can't you? You can see the end before the beginning. So faith can see the end of something before it's even started. And that's why faith is so powerful in a believer, because when we think about this, the devil's not out to just stop you. He's out to stop the faith of God in you, to stop the objectives that God births in you. He wants to stop that. It's not just you. God may give you something to do to change a city, a street, a nation, a family, and you've got that knowing and that vision, and you see it, and you say, okay, I'm going. Bang! And you stop and think, man, what is all of this? What the heck is going on here? And you forget that you just got some directions from God, and you're moving in that direction because of something you see. And the devil's going to try to stop it. He's going to try to stop the directions that are given. And it's no different. What did the devil do? He took Jesus up into a high mountain and he said, look, if you just fall down and worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms. And when you read up, when you look up that word kingdom, it says it's not an actual kingdom, but it's a rule or authority over something. So the devil was correct at that point. He hadn't been stripped. Jesus hadn't raised from the dead yet. He didn't spoil his authority. So at that point, the devil was absolutely correct. He said, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you the authority over these kingdoms. Now, Jesus at that point, he was operating as a man. And so are you. And so you, when given directions, you need to remember, I'm going in this direction. I'm an official representative of God. And I'm going to go into this area and spoil what the devil has taken. I'm here as an official representative of God, anointed, empowered by Him to take this area back. And that's what a Christian is. They're God's representative to go in and to take back what the devil has really been stripped of. He's been spoiled, and he has no power except that which is given to him. But all power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And he then gave it to the church to do what? Take back what the devil has unlawfully taken. Let's jump over to Isaiah for a moment. Look at Isaiah 46. Let's look at a few scriptures here for a moment. Isaiah 46. We're talking about being able to see something by faith. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am of God," or "I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Verse 10, "declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." The Message translation of that verse 10 says, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be. God has said, I'm going to tell you what the ending will be. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes verse 7. Chapter 7, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than what? The beginning. So you can see here, he's talking about the end of something, not the beginning. Let's jump to the New Testament. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 14. Says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this will be a little clearer. In the New Living Translation, this is how that reads in verse 14. It says, I strain to reach the end of the race. See? We need to be moving towards the end, not looking at the beginning. See, the New Living Translation says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. What is the end? God is showing us something which is the end. He's showing us that mall property. That's the end. And he's giving us directions on how to get to that end. And we're to be straining towards that. So, again, talking about faith can see, and we're looking at it from the Bible standpoint. But also, think about this. I think we shared this. I may have shared this last week. I don't remember if I did. You can remind me because I don't remember at the moment. But when we talk about a business plan, we always start out with a business plan with what? The end in mind. Because how do you plan if you don't have an objective or an end in mind? It's like baking. I'm going to bake this cake. I have an idea. I got it in mind. That's my objective. Okay, bake it. Well, now you need ingredients. So now you got to figure out whether you've got the ingredients to reach that end in mind. And if you don't have the ingredients, then you run into the store. It's no different than in business. We have an objective or an end in mind. And then we sit down and plan to reach that objective, that end in mind, which is what we do in ministry. We have an idea, we have something God has given us to do, or a prompt, and we begin moving in that direction, and we start planning and see what are our resources. Do we have the people? Do we have the finances? Do we have the wherewithal? And if we don't, we start looking to God. We start saying, okay, God, you gave us this. How do we do this? You see. So you start putting together the pieces to that plan. And so it's no different. God has given us the end, hasn't he? Right here. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he spoiled all principalities and powers. He gave us grace. He said all we had to do was believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, and we would receive eternal life. He already had the end in mind. He gave us the how. He said we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's the end. And he showed us how. By believing in our heart, by faith, and confessing with our mouth. And so he's given us the plan, the wherewithal, but he's always showing us in Scripture, he's showing us the end. And so he's giving us a vision of what the end is. And so we may not be able to see it physically, but we've already got the answer, the end in mind. I guess you could say that. Turn over. Here's a quick example. Go to Genesis chapter 13 for a moment. You can see an example of that. Genesis chapter 13, talking about Abraham or Abram. And 13 starting in verse 14. Chapter 13. And looking at verse 14. And it said, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Look at verse 17. "Arise. Arise. Walk through the land." What land? The land that you see. So he had to do that by faith. But in our case, he's already shown us in the Scripture things that have already been accomplished, the land that is ours. And we need to take it and operate in it by faith. Arise, and he did that all through his ministry. Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Be healed. Walk in that which I say you are. And that's no different where we are, where he's decreeing that property is ours. Walk in it. Rest in that. I will make it come to pass. Just the same way Kenneth Copeland got instructions as to how to get those 15,000 acres. He just followed God. So, Is it possible, or is it feasible? Let me say it this way. If we can see something that other people can't see, then we can have things other people can't see. If we can see something that other people can't see, we can have that that they can't see. We can do things that other people can't do because they can't see it. And that means we can have things that other people can't have because we can see it. Isn't that not true? I mean, that goes in life all the time. People say, I'll never have that. Just like this pastor, French pastor. All his buddies were telling him, you'll never get in there. And he said, I'm going to believe God. And he got in because he could see it. He had a prompt. And he said, I just believe God wants us to be there. That's what he said. And so he was able to have it because his buddies couldn't see it. So they walked away empty-handed. And his action, even though in trembling and fear, he received because he began to move in the direction that he saw. So the point is, you will never have, your feet will never take you to a place you haven't seen. If you can't see it, your feet won't take you there. Your feet will never take you to a place that you've never seen. If you can't see it, you won't move towards it. You'll just sit down. You'll say, we can't do that. Because you can't see yourself doing it. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think you'll never go there or do that, you'll never move towards it. How? In faith. You'll never move towards it in faith. See, it's no different like what Kenneth Copeland did. He said, we are not going to borrow money. We are not, we'll rent, we'll lease, but we will not take on a mortgage. That was his confession. And so God gave him some directions. But see, he had to first obey that direction from God. And then what did he do? He saw the property that he flew over, and God spoke to him and said, you go talk to that man, say, I need that property. And then, of course, you know, anybody who's natural, you go, okay, I'm going to go tell that man to give me his property. Okay, I'll do it. You told me. I don't know how, but I'll do it. We're all human. We're going to have some intrepidation, some fear, some apprehension, because that's just natural sometimes. You do. But because you love God, you're going to follow God, and you're going to do it. So the key becomes that if we can see something that other people can't see, then we're going to have things that other people can't see. They can't see. Well, you can see this all through life. Motivational speakers are motivating people to see themselves as millionaires. They do it all the time. They get big money. This is free. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is believe God. And they train people and motivate people to see themselves as prosperous, to see themselves as entrepreneurs, to see themselves as abundant and millionaires. And folks are walking in it. And they're doing it. Some fail, but a lot don't. And I always say, my God, they're paying a lot of money to get something that we have for free. It's in the Bible. So if we can see that, we don't have to be ever constrained by life. Never, ever, ever, ever. And sometimes the mind goes, yeah, but but I'm on a limited income. Well, be it unto you according to your faith. If it's limited to you, that means you can't see it yet. Keep saying, keep confessing, I have abundance and no lack. I believe God is opening doors for me. You know, it's like when we heard these testimonies of people here. Gladys is here today, who left her job to come work here, pray every day, told her that the company went bankrupt, and now is giving her her pension, which is due her. See, God will take the impossible and make it possible. He'll change and make impossible circumstances possible for those who walk in faith and please God. So for us, we should be ones who, when we talk about we are His official representatives, we should be a picture of prosperity. We should be a picture of health in this earth, because if we said, oh, that's God over there, and they'd go, are you kidding me? No. See. So we as His official representatives, sometimes we are not benefiting from all the benefits that are available to us as His official representative. And as His official representative here, we should be just like Jesus. He had a bag of money that a thief had. And He gave to the poor out of that bag. So should we. And not say, I can't because. No. See, sometimes we're defeated by our own thinking and our own words. And it is not the words of the kingdom. And that's why it said in Mark, repent ye, change your thinking. Change your thinking. You are an ambassador, an official messenger for God. Let me ask this question. Does an official messenger say, I can't? Nope. An official representative says, all right, what do you need? I'm an official representative. I have all the resources of heaven at my disposal. I have all the resources of the United States at my disposal. What do you need? That's who we are. And so when somebody's sick, I'm an official representative for the Master. What do you need? I need to be healed. Okay? And you lay hands on them. Because you are an official representative, anointed of God, to heal and to deliver and to bless. And that's why it's important when He says, you are blessed. Yeah, we're blessed. We're His representatives here. Not only are we blessed, but we're there to bless like Jesus was here in this earth. So, turn to Psalm 23 for a moment. We'll pick up here next time. Psalm 23. We are His disciples, His ambassadors. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I like, you know, some of the other translations really bless me. It says, this is the Good News translation. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. The Message translation says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. I'll tell you, the word shepherd means to associate with. So the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one I associate with. And because I associate with Him, I never have a need. Because I associate with the shepherd. I'm not doing it on my own. I'm associating with the head. And because I do, to associate with, that's one of the Hebrew meanings. It says to be a friend of, but you could say that it also says to associate with. So the Lord is one that I associate with, and because I do, I never have a need. Or I have everything I need. Psalm 25, right there, Psalm 25 and verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now, when you talk about seeing something and operating in faith, boy, I'll tell you, this to me, when it says here, the King James Version, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. This is the Common English Bible, same verse. It says, the Lord counsels those who honor Him. He counsels them, gives them counsel. How do you, Lord, I need to, oh, okay. When Jesus needed direction, He spent time in what? Prayer and fellowship. And because He honored God, God counseled with Him. This is the New International Reader's Version of Psalm 25:14. Listen to this. It says, the Lord shares His plans with those who have respect for Him. Oh, boy. I'd like to, I'm telling you. When we say, how many would like to have God share His plans with you regarding how to make $1 million? Yeah, we'd all jump up and say, yeah, yeah, now. Uh-huh, okay. But this says here, the Lord shares His plans with those who have respect for Him. Having respect for God doesn't just mean coming to church on Sunday. Having respect for God means taking time out of your day to look to Him. Look for direction. Say, God, I don't know how to do this. Help me. Spending quiet time with God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Giving Him honor and respect. James 5. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And look at verse 5. Says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? That's kind of like giving counsel, isn't it? And His plans. He gives more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Being humble means just a setting aside. You don't have to be first place in everything. You don't have to be heard. You don't have to be noticed. Being humble is just not only submitting to God, but taking low, I guess would be the best way to say that. Humble is lowly in degree or lowly in spirit. It means giving somebody else first place before yourself. Turn to John. We'll close with this. John chapter 3. Because this is really the heart of God here. John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 30. It says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This is the key right here. When we increase, He's decreasing. Listen to this. This is in the Good News Translation. I like this. It says, "He must become more important, while I must become less important." See? It says, "He must become more important, while I become less important. I need not be seen. I need not be the one that has to have say in something. It's really His voice. It's His words that need to be heard." And sometimes when we don't have something to say, we need not say anything. Or not be quick because I've done it this way before. I know what to do. I know what to say. I've got the scripture. And you rattle off scripture, but it doesn't hit the mark. Because you think you know what to say and to do. Sometimes you need to just listen for a while to people and let them talk, and then finally God will say, there's the problem right there. There's what you need to talk about. But see, you already know what to say. See, we need to decrease and let Him increase. And I like this. When you look up these words in the Greek, increase, we're talking about He must increase, it says to become greater. And to decrease means to be made less or inferior in dignity. Now listen to this. To decrease in authority or popularity. That's a stumbling block for some folks. Because they want to be popular. But it's saying here, we need to decrease in popularity and let Him increase in popularity. And one of the things that Kenneth Copeland prophesied to this ministry at its very beginning when he was here in 1985. There were some words that he spoke by prophecy. He said, "I will raise up this church," or no, he said, "You think that church in Seoul, Korea," because at the time it was well over 1 million people, he said, "You think that's a big church." He said, "I'll do that here if you'll let me." And, you know, everybody shouted. And he said also further in that prophecy, he said, "Don't seek the biggest church that's being popular." He said, "Just seek Me," meaning Jesus. He said, "Just seek Jesus." So when we do that, when we seek Him, then we're allowing Him to increase and His presence is manifested. And so when people come into a setting, they know they've had a touch from God and not you. And they don't really even see you because the tangible presence of God is such that they know that was God. And you really had nothing to do with that. You're officiating, you're overseeing, but it wasn't you. That's what God is looking for. And when people get their eyes on you, it's your responsibility to say, no, No, it's God you want your eyes on, not on man. Man can fail you. God cannot fail you. And so one of the things that is important in our daily lives is that He increase. Let Him increase. How does He increase? By spending time with Him, praying in the Holy Ghost, getting the Word of God down in our heart, and letting that rule and reign, so that when we come into this earth at His direction, we are official representatives of the King. Boy, I tell you, that's an important responsibility not to be taken lightly. And, you know, sometimes folks, when they don't have that mind of who they are, they're apt to say anything and do anything. Because they just think, well, hey, I'm a work in progress. Okay, you're not ready yet to be an official representative of God. You need more training. But the ones who honor God, He said, I will unfold my secrets to you. And what are the ones that, when you think about it, those that let their yeas be yeas and nays nays, and they think before they speak, God can begin to entrust things for us to do. Because one of the words we had the other night was we have a new anointing. That was the word that came a couple Sunday evenings ago. We have a new anointing. We have new assignments because we have more free time. And because we have more free time, we can get more assignments, and we have a new anointing. We have an increased anointing to do different things for God. And God will send us all into different places sometimes, because you're going to affect or impact the areas that you go in. And always remember this: where you go as an official representative, it should not be the same when you leave. It should be better, not worse. Why? Because you're there. Because God's there. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank You for this, for the words spoken. Thank You that they will prick our hearts, change our thinking, renew our minds as to who we are in Christ. And as we go about in life, Father, we remember that we are Your official representatives here in this earth to change the atmosphere, to have an impact on the spiritual atmosphere of where we are. So we bring heaven's atmosphere with us when we go into our jobs. We bring heaven's atmosphere into our home. And we thank You for it, Father. We believe that Your presence goes with us and Your anointing is upon us to change this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God.